Yeah.
Okay. Usually, with grants anyway, unless it's changed, you spend the money and then they send something. they don't give you the full amount right off the top. So, yeah.
So this $215,000 that's being generated through tax revenue, it's or is it? Is there
as of right now? Yeah, okay. We don't have anything coming out of reserve, so it has to be generated through the tax money.
And like it's been said that if this project did not move forward, then it would just end up as a surplus at the end of the year.
Correct.
So it's...
Have you made the change in the figure?
What?
Have you changed that figure?
No, keep it at 215 because it's not going to...
Three other people have gone to 100.
Well, we need the 215 for the NOHFC application.
That's what we put in.
Oh, okay.
And if the NFC...
If we don't get it, it just becomes surplus.
And if it was successful, then it would be approximately $25,000, the municipal portion, which is a lot less than the $100,000 that was mentioned to put in there instead of the $215,000. So I think leaving it at where it is the most strategic at this point in time.
Okay, we'll put it on you to find other places to cut that. We're trying.
And again, to touch on that a little bit, I still think there could be a couple of properties in the township that could be deemed surplus to the township, and maybe we could look at sale, generate some revenue that could go into the parkland account, which would be perfect to offset this here. So the last council did do a little bit of research on surplus properties. I'll give this to you, Carolyn, and maybe you can, I don't know if we're going to have a meeting at some point regarding that property at 152. Maybe that could be part of another subject in that meeting, as to look at township properties that we may be able to generate.
I think that's excellent. The only thing I'd like to do prior to that is that have staff ensure that we have deeds for all of those properties, because our list is not necessarily accurate of what we currently have deeds for, and we find out later that we don't. So I think that has to be researched first before we even think of selling some property. Have to make sure that we own it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, Carly Duncan.
Okay.
So I will keep that $215,000 in the budget, right?
Sounds like.
Next item on the capital budget is the AODA compliance bathroom. The cost of that one is $15,000.
And that tender closes?
March 30th.
March 30th. I don't know if there are any timelines on that, when it was supposed to be done.
To be ODA compliant, we have to have it completed by 2025.
Okay.
But in the tender, it has to be completed by December 31st of this year.
Okay. So it's staying in the budget by looks of. Well, it depends, of course, on what the quotes come in at.
Okay. So the last one is Minerva Pedestrian Bridge. As we discussed, that we are not going to pursue it, $350,000. So that will come out of the budget. Last section on the capital sheet is the transfer to reserves. So I'm transferring $50,000 to fire department vehicle equipment to reserve.
From tax revenue?
Yeah. And then we are going to transfer $200,000 in the transportation equipment vehicle.
One question on that. What do we have in there now? I know we're just looking at purchasing a new vehicle, but...
So, estimated balance as of 2022 will be $520,628.35, and out of that, $298,000 will be used for the fire truck and lawnmower, and we will transfer $200,000 into the reserve account. The balance will be $422,628.35.
Yeah. You said fire truck. It's not a fire truck.
No, it's not a fire truck.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's not a fire truck.
Okay, I thought
Okay, my question on that, again, we have to talk to Greg about it, and I know vehicles aren't cheap, but I think the fleet now is getting fairly up to date. I mean, they're pretty old vehicles, some of them, but I think overall, the main trucks are fairly new, are they not?
Yeah, well, yeah, we're coming along really well.
I guess the question is, if we're looking at cutting somewhere, do we need that much transferred over if we have, unless he's looking at more purchases, I don't know. But I'm just looking at places that we could possibly cut and not transfer as much. Yeah.
And that could be one spot, because it would still leave us with a balance of, without that 200,000 transfer to reserve, would leave us with a balance of 222,000 in the roads capital equipment vehicle reserve. And if, so previously we were talking about the 215,000 for the Ball Diamond project. So if that did not move forward, then at the end of the year, that's, we could transfer that into that vehicle, roads capital equipment vehicle reserve.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
So how much do you want me to transfer into the account?
Councillor Keckney just said all of it, but I'm not sure. We'll have to.
So at the end of the year, we would know for the Ball Diamond portion of it. But at this point in time, if we didn't want it, if we wanted to cut 200,000, we wouldn't transfer anything into the vehicle equipment capital reserve from tax revenue in this budget.
Okay.
So it'd be zero there.
So as of now, it's zero, and at the year end, we will decide, you know, from Ball Diamond,
yeah,
how much we need to transfer. Am I right?
Right.
Yep.
But that leaves the reserve at 200 and something?
222,000.
So after that, next line is cemetery reserve. We are going to transfer $1,000 into the cemetery reserve. And the balance in the cemetery reserve, it's 26,000. After that transfer, will be $27,510.69.
Well, I know there's certainly work to be done in there at the one, Lakeview, but I'm not sure about all of the others. Fencing, for instance, we have to look at, but that's down the road. I mean, it's adequate what's there. And we did talk at one point, this is years back, it's never happened, but to actually make it more accessible for people visiting the site, and also for funeral homes to actually have a road going through and come back out, and tried to ensure that they weren't selling the plots where the road might go, but I'm not sure that I'd have to be checked into that.
People
still
don't like that?
Well, well, actually, one we had to move so that we could have a roadway. The plot, not
the body. Yeah,
no one turned. Yeah. It's a term. But I'm just thinking that's, again, we should be looking at that because, there comes a time you don't want them coming in with the larger vehicles and going through other sites and to access them. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if you could have a bit of a circular. And I know we're spoiled. We look at, because we were here long before Sylvan Acres was, but you look at what they've provided there with Perry Sound expansion out into McDougal, and that's a nice site to visit, certainly to move around, and easily accessible. And I'm thinking we should be looking at ours at some point too. But looking at our budget, I'm not sure this is the year to talk about that.
Well, we can call a cemetery committee meeting, which hasn't been called for several years.
That would be good.
And yes. Discuss that.
Yes. Appreciate that, yeah. Okay.
So next line on the on the capital item is the transfer to reserve community center, $10,000. And after that $10,000 transfer, the balance will be $55,469.11.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, and we'll see how far that $105,000 goes to renovation as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
$180,000.
I thought it was $105,000 for the kitchen.
Oh, kitchen. Yeah,
yeah.
Overall is $180,000.
Yeah, overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the roof. Yeah.
Next two line is related to the capital roads capital construction reserve and the $50,000 which we got from insurance claim. that's going to be transferred back to the debt reserve, and $14,544 that has been transferred, which we borrowed money from the capital reserve, capital construction reserve last year, $70,000, and we said we will pay back in 5 years. So $14,544 will be each year will be back put back in the debt account.
Did we borrow it for the pool?
No, for the our last year, because of the inflation and the you know, the shipments and delay in the cost of the gravel and the calcium and every other item went up, so we borrowed $7,000 from that account. So, and then we decided to pay back that amount in 5 years. So each year we will transfer back $14,544. So the total transfer to reserve is $325,000, but then obviously it will change now. $20,000 will be come out, so the transfer will be $125,544.
So just back to the $50,000 that was received for the insurance claim, I haven't followed through here, but it's being transferred to Roads Capital Construction Reserve, and is that where Dean Holmes...
Yeah, that's where it's going to be applied.
Okay.
Yeah. So the capital expenditure before we change in, you know, those items that were $3,102,654. Now it's been changed, so I don't know the exact number. After applying the capital revenue, we needed the $1,646,510.88. The operating budget surplus was going to be $489,796.36. The shortfall was $1,156,714.52.
And that equated to what, a percentage? You had to a percentage as well, did you not?
No, I don't have a percentage in that.
Oh, I thought you had a 6.5 on your introductory page.
Oh, are you talking about revenue? Yeah, 6.5 was levy, you know, if we
right.
6.5 levy, then the balance will, surplus will be out of the operating budget will be $489,796.
Okay.
So in other words, you have already incorporated a 6.5% tax.
As of
increase.
Now, because I have to start the some yeah. number, so I, because the 6.5 was the CPI right. as of October, and that's why I used that number.
Okay. Oh, so that was what I was trying to figure out, was that the balance from the operating budget was plus $489,000, and I started going through line by line to determine, you know, how is it that that it could be possible when I was looking at the numbers of not big changes in expenses and not big changes in revenue coming in from external sources, that how could it be that we're $489,000 on the plus side? That's because you've incorporated a 6.5% tax increase already in this budget.
That's correct.
Okay.
So this number will obviously change now because we reduce almost
200,000.
250 plus 250, 500,000 plus 600,000 easily changed it. So it will be around 600,000 remaining balance we need to cover.
It's still pretty rough.
Still starving. That's rough.
Yeah, you can't do too much with the operating, so it's.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would say, if there are any particular questions about the operating, and it stood out, I had some things along the way, so I might as well. I'm not sure we have to go through it line by line, maybe at this point. But I would like to go in order by page number, so that. Very convenient. They're all page numbers are at the bottom, so that's really good.
Mm-hmm. And they increase incrementally. Yes, that's helpful.
It's funny how a person can incorporate a compliment and sarcasm at the same time.
It's not a complaint. It's just an observation. So,
Just to start us off, I guess, on page 2, under administration. Now it's down under, well, I guess that was back then, so it's under salaries, back to Councillor Ryland's comments. We really can't verify those particular figures, so. You just put in as an increase from 2022, right? You did a 6% increase.
And a major increase.
Go ahead.
And a major. I understand that, you know, there's 26% increase in the comparison number. It's because the deputy clerk last year was hired, and she was hired in September, and last quarter of the budget was included. So. Now the deputy clerk is full time, and so budget has changed. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. My question is on how you drive the budget. I know you answered this question a different phrased a different way, but methodology that I'm used to is that if you had 10 people that were each making $1,000 in a department, then I would expect to see that the budget would reflect $10,000. Even if half those positions were vacant, or even if they had 15 people working there. I'm not saying any of those, that's just numbers I'm throwing out. But, and I understand about your 26%, that's a great explanation, thank you. But can you tell me that that was done? I can't see how you could do that for the various roads issues, but other than you could do it at the grand level. Is that done at any point in the budget process? Do you follow what I'm saying?
It's done at the grand level. That's not the individual, you know, the line item level, because again, the depends on the where the grave needs the people. Like, it's if he needs the people in the ditching,
right,
then he will increase that budget and will reduce the other budget. So it's hard to follow in the sense the way normally the administration budget done or building department budget done, because you know. There's 10 people and X amount of has to be increased, but then in the transportation budget, it goes by the where the work is going to be done rather than the individual.
Understood. But if I was to add, for example, and I'm not sure this is even appropriate, but if I was to add all the different roads components up in what you have here in salaries, would that be equal to, like I said, if I had 10 employees of $1,000 a piece, would that add up to $10,000 in total?
Should be. Yeah.
Okay. And does overtime get included in the salaries number?
Yeah.
Okay. And benefits are different, I get that.
And not the overtime included, because it's hard to figure out the overtime rate.
But you can guesstimate what it is based on this.
And that's why maybe some line item you see more than whatever it's supposed to be, because Greg must have figured out, okay, well, if I have to increase the number of hours in that area because of the people or like, you know, the... salty or in the winter,
yep.
The people use more, they put more hours than compared to the you know, rigorous staff hours. So some line item you see more and then some less. It's because Greg already incorporated those overtime hours too.
I would like to see overtime broken out. In other words, the whatever you want me to call it, regular time, if I was to call it that, just not without overtime,
right,
as a line, and then overtime as a separate line, because obviously that's a critical control feature for any large, for any employer. I mean,
right.
Overtime costs a lot of money, and it would be important to monitor it and manage it, right? And again, even establish a budget for overtime on the basis of history, at least. But that way we know if it's being managed or not, or if it's possible to be managed or not. That's kind of my point. It isn't to say it's wrong. I'm just saying it needs close monitoring is my point of view. So,
I think, too, with our human resources policy, overtime is time off. It's not necessarily converted into money. So I think that has another consideration.
Yeah.
And I know it still affects the overall work, because work's not getting done then when they have time off, but... It might not affect the budget as such as far as figures.
And I agree with you, because, you know, most of the employees accrue the overtime. They don't use it, so they bank it and they might use it next year. So you won't see the actual, the way in terms of the money, though. But yeah, there will be a overtime, but that will be used in next year or they bank it, and it, they will use it at some point.
Do you have an accrual figure at any point in time?
Not right now, but I will have. Okay. Because I normally do the accrual, figuring out how much the overtime or vacation or sick days people have at the year end and how much I need to accrue those. So I do have, but it's not, as of now, it's not part of this budget.
I don't want to interrupt, but I mean, my only other point would be that in terms of looking at, from a management point of view, looking at overtime and or accrued overtime, if it's escalating all the time, that's a good indication that there's problems in how the work is organized. And I'm not saying that about this organization. I'm just saying that's a general management principle. That's why it's important to track it.
Yeah, so makes sense. Councillor Kirk?
So yeah, looking at administration, and you had explained the 26% in regards to one position, but it seems to me that, you know, the 2022 budget, 375,000 up to this 2023 budget, 473,000. It's incorporating another position in there as well, isn't it? Isn't it incorporating the administrative receptionist?
Yeah, it's part of that budget too.
So that's one spot there where you'll have to take into consideration that there could be a reduction in that total administration salaries cost if council decides that that's a position that's not needed.
And the next point, if I could ask, why would the benefits decrease by 20.7%, Rashawn? You probably have an explanation, I just don't know what it is, that's all.
Because the budget, the employee benefits was done based on the budget salary numbers, but then one of the person doesn't have a benefit, that's why it's reduced as of now.
And that figure down below, the 4,000 I see for a photocopier, I think I heard rumors as I walked through that looking at another photocopier, is that the idea that there should be two? That just because of the usage of the one, and sometimes there's a lineup, and I don't know whether that's the reason
I'm
it's in here.
Aware of the second photocopier.
Oh, okay. So one is sufficient now?
Yeah, but it should be.
Okay. That's fine.
End of now.
So what's the 4,000?
That's the annual cost of
supplies, probably.
All that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the contract that we have with the supplier, they charge per sheet, and
per
they
sheet,
they
yeah.
provide the. Do they provide the paper?
No, they don't.
No, but they charge per sheet.
The color and the black and white, they charge per sheet, and how many times you use it, plus the other.
You're kidding. What is it to buy our own? That's not ours, is that?
We bought that in 2000 and the 2014-2018 term of council, and the clerk administrator explained this to us because I had that exact same reaction. Like, why are we paying per sheet for a photocopier there was the option of purchasing it outright, and it was explained that it was cheaper to do it this way because it incorporates the maintenance costs, so that if you call them in each time it needs servicing or maintenance, it adds up to something that's greater than this. So, but since it was purchased, I think quite a few years ago now, is there any concerns about the age of that photocopier and any issues or time?
There are issues, just like at this one when we printed, there was some line came up on the sheets, and then we end up calling the service person, and he came and looked at that. So for the everyday business, I don't see much difference though. But obviously at some point we need to change it, but not this year.
That's my experience too. When we had 12 or 15 photocopiers or printers like that on the floor, and switched all of them out to a contract because otherwise the maintenance costs were killing us. In other words, that's really what you're paying for. They charge you per sheet because use drives, breakdown. So, but that was exactly what we did with all of them. So.
But I do think that it would be good to have a second photocopier. Just I like being proactive and not having a reaction to a major breakdown and trying to, it puts staff's work on hold for who knows how long if it's a major breakdown. Even if there was a cheaper one that was reliable and that could do the same job, I think we certainly need to look into Plan B sitting, you know, being used and available. And even the service delivery review indicated that there are times where there is a lineup for the photocopier where certain things are not getting done. So I think that...
Now that you mention, that's probably where I read it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's. I think that this is something that we certainly need to write as a note for consideration in this budget.
I know that the fire department has requested a new one as well.
Yeah.
So.
I see on page 3 you've incorporated Starlink in there at this point. At the top, telecommunications service.
Yes. So $650 per month for the internet cost and $3,700 for the equipment. And that time when I did the report, I was not sure about the installation cost.
Right.
So now we got the installation cost. So on the next draft, I will include that one too.
Okay. Can you tell me then that what we're paying for our existing internet with ViaNet is being...
There was two internet, with ViaNet and ExploreNet.
Okay.
Roughly, I would say 150 plus 180 something. So roughly around more than $300.
A month, yeah. But in other words, the $15,500 represents the net of Starlink less the existing?
Yeah, plus the existing, yeah.
Plus it?
Less.
Plus the
existing. No, less. Because we're going to discontinue the old service to add the new service.
Well, but we are going to keep it for time being. That's my understanding.
Right, that's what we talked about, because it's been suggested from the public even that you have a backup if one goes down for a period of time to make sure the one that you're purchasing does function. So no, Roshan's correct there.
Okay.
What he was directed to do. And council, if they're going a different direction now, he needs to know. But we haven't talked about that as a council. What we do with the older one. You're right, I mean, you're paying double, but, well, not quite double, but why have it? But we're not even guaranteed with Starlink that it's going to be working. We hope it is, and I know you're a partner in it or something, but...
Anyway. I'm not. I have no financial interest whatsoever, so...
But anyway...
But we can cancel the other anytime, right?
My understanding of the contract was 2008 or something, so...
So after a few months, we can always cancel.
I have no problem with that at all, just as long as we don't do it long-term, that's all, so...
Right.
And once you cancel, the hardware cost won't be refunded, so...
Yeah.
That we have to take it.
Yep.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, is that if we were concerned about the cost of the Starlink and the, you know, this is an additional, this year, close to $10,000, that we're receiving revenue from the Rogers cell phone tower in Maplewood, that we could take some of that from that reserve and transfer it to cover some of the Starlink cost, because that's why we have that reserve, is to ensure that we have good internet connectivity and we're making sure that we're providing a good service. So,
sure.
You know, I think that revenue that we're getting in, should part of it should be used to offset our connectivity costs.
We can use it, it's up to the council, but my understanding that reserve we are building up for the fiber installation, fiber optic installation, so...
Right, there was a reserve set aside,
So, but then if that that revenue, the council would like to use it for the Starlink, then I can do that, I can, you know, allocate that revenue to this department, this Starlink.
Well, maybe put a pause on that, because as you say, if the fiber optic is coming, we need some money certainly, and I know Carly is involved in another project through the government there, so if it's coming here for the high speed internet for us, then we need some money in an account.
Is there any indication what our portion of that project is going to be? Because it seemed like the government was funding these, even the Bell project. Is there any indication of how much is being, what the municipality's portion of any of those projects would be?
No, but I'll receive more information on the 27th.
Okay.
It may just be similar to Cochico when they set up their building over by the fire hall that, you know, you give us a piece of property, it's sort of a quid pro quo, I guess, and that they would give us a service here. And I noticed that Carly was talking about land acquisition or easements, I guess, in certain maybe municipal property where they'd have to put up something, whatever they're running, whether it be the fiber optic, whether it's overhead or underground, I'm not sure.
Most of the infrastructure will be overhead. They're trying to minimize underground. It's more the easements would be for the guy wires that are required for the extra infrastructure above. And then also staff time will be a factor in this project as well, just because we'll be receiving a lot of road occupancy permits, locates, and then the easements if necessary.
So hopefully you're correct that municipality won't have to come up with the funding. But
well, it just seems like there's a real competitive environment out there, and the person who the entity that's going to provide the best service for the least cost to everybody, including municipalities, is going to be the winner in this.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It would be good to know what the municipal expectation will be at some point in time, so that we can, you know, even if we utilize part of what we have in this reserve, it's, I think, beneficial at some point in time.
How much do we have in reserve? Do you know?
36,000 we have.
26,000?
36,000.
36,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I must have missed that on there.
No, sorry. Going to be, by end of this year, it's going to be 60,000.
60?
Yeah.
60, yeah.
In the Maplewood reserve.
High speed internet telecommunication.
Where is it?
About sixth from the bottom, high-speed internet telecommunications reserve. Sixth from the bottom.
Okay.
Our
yep.
Reserve.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. 60,000.
I missed it.
So we're putting another 12 in there this year.
Yeah. Well, it's a consideration anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't see unknown, so it's something, I guess.
The whole section on page 4, I guess, of most of that's fire, I think. Our fire chief had a list of 2 or 3 different pages there concerned. Were those all incorporated into this?
Yeah.
Okay, they are already then.
Yeah.
Okay. This is on page 5, just because I see a blank here, and I'm just wondering, I guess it's 153202, the new Rescue 1 truck. I see a figure of 2250 in there for the budget. Did he specify what that was for? Or?
It's just a cost, I think. Regular oil change, and you know, if they need to do any kind of maintenance, that's what they.
Regular maintenance?
Yeah, maintenance.
There was hoping there wouldn't be any major repairs.
Hopefully not.
What did we end up getting in? The other one on page 7. This is still all up in the air, I guess, but I don't know whether we have any figures or not. That's still coming back with the impound facility. Because I could see under 180401, Capital Buildings Animal Control. Like, there's nothing in there, and maybe I'm just looking down the road. We might should be putting something in there if we're going that route. We might need a figure at some point.
Hmm.
sooner rather than later, but it seems to be hard to get any information from them.
Allison's working on it. She's contacting the municipalities to see if we can enter into the agreement first and foremost, and yep. then they would decide how much our contribution would be.
Right.
What was Whitestone paying? I think that was mentioned in there. I don't remember the number.
It's about $1,000 a year.
How much?
$1,000 a year. So it's about 1.8 to 2.5% of their operating costs.
Sorry, what's that for?
For the Perry Sound impound, dog impound in town.
Animal control expenditures at the bottom, capital buildings.
So I'm not aware of that one. So are we planning to have a building here, or are we going to just have an impound center?
A contract with Perry Sound.
Perry Sound, okay.
Right. The dog bylaw has just come up recently. We haven't really touched on it yet. We'll have a committee of the whole meeting on that, bring people in and see what they think. And I think what Councillor Haskin, he's already for dogs on leash. Especially in broadband. Oh, it's just the opposite. Sorry.
I think that there has to be a number here, regardless if there's a dog bylaw or not, because the OPP have requested that McKellar participate in this program to ensure that when they encounter situations where a dog needs to be brought to a safe location, that we have this contract in place. They end up in emergency situations where there's a dog involved, and they don't want to be housing dogs at the OPP facility. So they want to make sure that all municipalities, which are currently have a contract with Perry Sound, except for two, McKellar being one of them, have a contract with the impound center.
How much is the cost we are looking at?
So the operating costs, based on Whitestone's numbers, were around $1,000 per year.
So it'll be that initial expense where they possibly want McKellar to contribute to the original capital cost of the project.
Yeah, or the other proposal would be if there was upgrades to be done in the next couple of years, then McKellar would have a larger portion owed of that project. So again, it's all in discussion right now.
I wonder whether we should put then 1,000.
Should put something
on that
there.
Line 401, 180, 401. Then just so we show that we have good intentions to get something worked out.
Yes, on 9, now this would be something Greg could answer later, but under loose top maintenance, he has, it's 223,146, dust control, materials and supplies. I noticed it's gone down. Either they've dropped the price, which I can't believe, or he's going to do less. And I'm not sure, again, he hasn't talked to us about it, but I guess maybe he's thinking as he hard tops more, it'll be less dust control, but I don't know what his plan is.
I think he, as per Greg, that he's going to use less this year. That's my understanding, and that's why he reduced the amount.
Yeah, this is what we'll have to get that from him, because there's some residents that don't want less. So we'll have to see what his plan is, you know.
And you're talking line 146, was it, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually, he's budgeted $70,000. The actual last year was $62,000.
Right.
So he is above budgeting
more.
That's
true, yeah. Maybe he's, maybe he'll be doing just as much or more.
Can I ask on the previous page, on page 8, Roshan, under furnace oil, under Public Works Garage, you've got it going up by 25%, just budget-wise, but actual, okay, yeah, I get it now. So we spent almost 20 grand, but actual last year, and you've only got 15 for this year, but, okay. And maintenance repairs, you got 500% which is a rather noticeable increase, but for maintenance and repairs, I guess. Is that the, do you know what that is, maintenance and repairs in there? It's line 06210113.
I think that's the, you would like to do the engine work. I'm putting my report engine work on this.
No, this is Public Works Garage. Yeah. You're talking about?
Isn't yeah.
It? Neck? Yeah,
yeah.
It Public is. Works Garage.
Yeah.
18,000 he's budgeting.
It's about halfway down page 8.
Yeah.
You'd almost think like maybe a big door is needs replaced or something.
I know, the estimated cost
replacement. Oh, that's, sorry. That's the, I put in my report too.
Okay.
I increased by 15K because he's going to replace two fuel tanks and pumps.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
You spotted that. That's good.
You're right. You did.
If they'd read it, they would know.
Okay.
Just one thing stood out to me, but I'm sure he has a reason for quite a lot, bit more in sanding and salting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did ask him to sand more, so maybe that's, and maybe the price has gone up, I don't know. But,
yeah, by a combination of a few things, but yeah, that's one spot where we don't want to cut back, so to make sure that's he's got enough in there. But if things are really tight at the end of the day, we could bring it up to them when we're talking with them.
I'm thinking too, figure. Yeah, the contract won't exist anymore for the unassumed roads because we're doing it now with the new vehicle and driver. And I think that was part of the contract before
yeah.
that now we'll have to supply the sand on those roads.
That's right.
Which we may have been doing anyway. I'm not sure how that actually worked, but now we'll have to come out of the township budget.
If you look at the contract for that one, it's reduced from $45,000 to $40,000. And we gave the contract to Lawson. The contract amount was roughly around $55,000. And the payment, two payments went out last year, remaining four payments has to come this year. That's why you still see the $40,000
right
there. But then obviously from next year, you won't see like maybe $4,000 or $5,000 there.
Yeah.
So I have a general question here. Even if you look at that page 9, ditching, loose top maintenance, roadside maintenance, each of those categories have a miscellaneous, and some of them actually have an amount there that's budgeted $2,500 for ditching and loose top maintenance, $100. So my question is, and there's no amount entered in for actuals for 2022, but when we read the check run reports, there's a lot of things entered into miscellaneous categories. So with this, are the amounts that are actually listed in the check run reports being entered into miscellaneous, which there are no entries here, and if they actually have a category where they could go, then can we eliminate this miscellaneous line item? Because in just those two pages, those miscellaneous budget amounts equals $10,700, but the only amount entered into those was $360 on one line. So I'm just wondering if the miscellaneous is not serving a purpose and there are allocated locations in the line items in the budget that and that ensures that it is going to a specific allocation and not into miscellaneous, which we can never determine what it is. So
could we collapse those down into, well, pretty much every one of these there's materials and supplies, which logically would be, I don't know exactly what those expenses are or have been, but by the same token, materials and supplies would seem to cover it pretty closely.
Yeah, I'm thinking like the miscellaneous really doesn't tell us much, you're right. So, but that's something, it's up to Roshan how he keeps these recorded, but I think it could be more detailed than what the miscellaneous actually refers to. Where is it actually coming from? I think that's a legit question, because when everybody sees miscellaneous, I mean, it's like a contingency fund, I guess, but you try to specify exactly where the money is.
We can collapse the miscellaneous to the material and supplies.
Yeah,
and those are most of the time of material and supplies, which is sometimes the account doesn't have a balance or doesn't have a budget. Maybe end up going in there, so we can just collapse those one and into the one.
Is that agreeable to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Page 11, Roseanne, I take it then that you were mentioning about a rebuild of the motor. Was that in the 885 case back to 12,000?
That's correct.
Okay. Page 11.
What happened with the motor?
I think it needs engine work. So that's why I had that amount there.
I think on another question I had, I have a note on page 12, second from the bottom, 2020 Freightliner. I think you have it on here twice, I take it. I think it's on page 10 also. Is that the same vehicle?
No.
Once, no, two different?
2019 and 2020.
Well, there's a 2020 Freightliner on 12 and a 2020 Freightliner plow truck on 10.
Yeah, clearly we have a 19, a 20, and a 21 spread across those pages, but yeah.
Yeah, like Dave said earlier, our fleet is quite, we're doing really well that way. We've really concentrated on that last few years. But I just wonder whether that's, there's a reason to have that in the two different pages?
No, it could be created by mistake the account, so I can combine.
Sure.
We'll double check it, because you can see there's no entries in budget 2020 and 2020 for Freightliner 2020, but there are entries in the second 2020 Freightliner. So there's entries there, so there may be two that were purchased that are 2020s.
Mm. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
Maybe we should use a plate number in the title. Seriously, if there's two of the same year, I mean, how would we know if it's vehicle A or vehicle B under that circumstance? Yeah. That wouldn't be a problem, would it?
Or I might put the license number.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm even happier now. We've got four really nice, good trucks.
Yeah.
A 19, two 20s, and 21.
Just makes sense, right? Right.
We just gained a whole new truck just now.
Can I ask a question on page 11, Roshan?
Yes.
Consistently, not just on page 11, but on others, in three categories that are on page 11, the salary increases, are understood, 6.5%, and yet on all three of them, the percentage increase on the payroll overhead, as you call it here, is exponentially greater. It isn't a lot of money in terms of the absolute dollars on the budget, but I'm just curious how we could have such a disconnect. In other words, if the salaries didn't increase that much, how would the overhead increase that much?
So I changed the overhead because based on the actual, I looked at that, we used more. There was the budgeted amount in 2022 was less. So I corrected that and increased the overhead amount.
And again, if I was to add up all of these expenses, it would equal the total for the whole group?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. That's fine. I mean, they're peanuts in terms of dollars anyhow, so...
jumping way ahead, but it's one area I mentioned before and wanted to get some kind of handle on. On 23 with the Sesquicentennial Ad Hoc Committee. Still confused on, I think it's a 2-year budget at least. And there's some grants coming in and some aren't. And maybe Councillor Haskin can help me here. I'm looking at totals here for the 2 years is $60,000 to $70,000. Am I incorrect there? And I know there are some grants to cover some of that, but is that what's being spent for this year's celebrations? I haven't seen any breakdown.
Yeah, I think that there was some budgeted last year and then some budgeted this year. Now, they did get, was it 3 grants?
So we got the 2 grants and the other one is approved. $13,700, $15,000, those we got the grant last year. We got the money and we transferred to the reserve account. And then we also going to get, not to get, but approved $9,000 for the expenses.
So is there any, like most committees actually put together a budget and submit it, as the market did?
They did.
They did.
And that's based on their budget. And
okay, so is that available?
Give it to the next meeting.
Because as I said before, I just noticed, and of course I'm not signing the grants, but I do sign an awful lot of checks for the committee, the money that's going out. And I'm not sure what's coming in, to be honest. And I just wanted to make sure that there's some accountability for all of this.
So there is, and it's all coming through the grants and the reserve.
So it's not coming out of taxpayer money at all?
Well, last year we did, because last year we did transfer the $10,000 our taxpayer money to the reserve, and then we used the $8,000 out of it, and then we, if you look at the balance, we transferred it last year, $39,135, which include the 2 grant and remaining balances to the reserve, and that's what we are going to bring in this year, plus $2,000. It's coming from the historical committee reserve. So, and plus they are going to generate some revenue, and they are going to generate roughly, I would say, a lot of revenue here. If you take out the 9,000, so remaining is all revenue. So from 32,000, 9,000, if you take out the remaining, all the revenue generated through the ticket sale, shirt sale, bags, and all those kind of things. So they have their own budget, and they did allocate properly, and that's, they have the money to cover the all the expenses.
Okay, now I'd be interested in seeing that, and as you say, with they're actually going to be getting a return on investment. They're going to actually be making some money. I'm not sure where that's going. I know to cover some of the expenses, but I know some of it's also going to different organizations. So I just wanted to look at, because I know the churches are involved, and they're getting money from ticket sales as well. And so I sort of wanted to see a breakdown of the budget just to see how they put all this together, because it's very confusing, especially with the 2-year budget.
I have the numbers from the Siskiyou Central Committee, and I will attach on the next meeting.
Okay, okay. Appreciate that.
And under the Recreation Committee, they haven't actually, they're working on their budget next week, but I told Rojan that it won't be more than last year, so just put that figure in there for now, and we'll do our budget next week. I think it can probably even come down some. So.
Well, there are many great things the Recreation is doing, and I was surprised that the actual figure is not that high, so...
Yeah,
quite a few programs for very little cost.
Yeah, and a lot of that was then left over and transferred into reserve, which is good. So, no, they're doing a good job, but I think there's a bit of a duplication there where I think in last year's budget we had 2,000 to maybe be prepared for volunteer appreciation. But in this, our general budget, we also have 5,000 somewhere in here for volunteer appreciation. So I'm thinking, well, that's... You know,
a lot of appreciation.
So I think it may be if Rec just pulled theirs out of there and council approved this with the 5,000. if it keeps getting put in there and the volunteer appreciation never happens.
Right. Well, we'll make sure it happens.
COVID killed it off there for a few years.
So,
so it was mentioned, so I'm looking at page 22, and then at the bottom, is there another location where it has discretionary donations, an actual number in there? Or is this the only place in the budget? Because I don't see any entry on for discretionary donations.
On page 22, is that where you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you looking at the cultural services?
Right at the bottom, Roshan. Cultural services, yeah. Expenses. And there's nothing for a Chamber of Commerce donation either.
was there any supposed to be any donation account or?
I thought I had seen at one point.
I know the chamber asked for 10,000, but when he was here a couple, three meetings ago, anyhow, maybe three, I don't know, but Chris, when he came and presented, so.
Well, I see the chamber on page 26.
Or 26, oh. So there's another spot.
Chamber of Commerce donation. There's nothing in there, but.
Okay. But it's also on page 22, if I'm right, yes. Mm-hmm. Under cultural services. I'm not sure that it's cultural, but.
And I thought I had seen the donations in there somewhere.
So donation in the administration, if you look at the administration, there's a donation account.
Okay.
Page
donation.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Page. Three?
Yeah, page three, yeah.
Page three. Yeah, so there's a couple of donation categories over there.
That may cover what Councillor Kessler was talking about. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I can double check. Those are the categories I have in administration.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure what the discretionary donations was for.
I think the grants to organizations was for the high school bursary.
Was that not the?
That's for $1,500 scholarship.
Yeah.
Oh, that one there.
Yeah, we're about $4,000 for donations to, I guess, various groups if they apply for it by the deadline. And then, this other one, discretionary donations. Unless that's just something, if something else comes up through the year where we just feel that the donation is needed. So basically a miscellaneous donation category.
Well, think back, because in 2020 it was $15,000 budgeted. For discretionary.
Yeah, and then we give out 11,000,
right?
Yeah, back in 2020, and I can't remember what that would have been for.
In 2021, and especially because of the COVID, we didn't give it to anybody. In 2022, we gave Agriculture Fair Society $250 plus some other amount. And then bird.
For the bird houses?
Bird houses.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of hundred there, so.
15.
Yeah. Wasn't that much.
So, where does the NLCA water testing come in?
That's an environmental.
Environmental.
That's not it.
But I think we need to sort this out to see where that $11,675 went to in 2020 to determine what this discretionary donations is.
I think, Mike, you had the detail. I remember last year when we were going through budget and then you pulled up the one of those files and...
is it not in alphabetical order?
There's a flower.
One of the Whitestone Nursing Station, eh?
Oh, maybe.
Whitestone Nursing
Station? No.
No.
I can't say that because that was 2020, so I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But then, in 2021, we gave nursing station $30,000.
Oh, yeah. Well, find out at some point.
I'm just trying to find the page on the environmental committee. Lake stewardship.
It's on the waste management. Page 18.
Yeah. Because I just noticed there were some differences with the figures that are on our sheets and what they had submitted. I'm a little confused there. The one dealt with the ice cap, I think.
I didn't put the ice cap on my notes because, as per my understanding, we are going with the ice cap.
Well, that's what we have to talk about. Yeah, I was sort of glad to see this, and I think that's it was certainly part of their submitted budget. But I think council seriously has to consider, you know, why are we paying it? Yeah.
There is a meeting scheduled in May, if I'm right, that they've invited me to, and I think you too, David, to talk about this with other municipalities. It's fair to say that their view, I had a long chat with a guy named Benjamin something.
Ben
again.
Johns.
Sorry, Ben John.
Johns.
Yeah. And his view was that if we understood what had been done for other municipalities, that we would want the same. And basically, that money in particular basically boils down to climate change initiatives that are done. And obviously, on the basis that, at least to my knowledge, we're not doing anything on that front, it doesn't look good for us, and it's undoubtedly not a good thing for the environment because we're not. At any event, I think we should at least tentatively plan something in here. And for the record, they believe that not only do we not necessarily owe them, should we pay them $14,500 in 2023, but that we shortchange them by $6,500 in 2022. And without saying there's hard feelings, so that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but not much. This came about, in my opinion, and I wasn't part of council at the time, from the GBB side of things, that this came about because Peter was the council rep it's not even a committee, that group, and things fell between the cracks, is a charitable way of saying it anyhow, and then obviously it never got translated back. And it got thrown over the fence at one point into the Lake Stewardship and Environment Committee, thinking that it's an environmental issue, and it is. But there was nobody on the committee that knew anything about it, including me. And hence, that's why I've had contact with them. And there's a fellow named David Bywater, and I'm not sure what David's role is. I've had several attempts to have a one-on-one with him, and every single one of them fell apart. But that doesn't mean I've given up. I just keep saying, if this date doesn't work, then tell me what does. Don't just keep saying I can't do that, right? So,
but I'm thinking this is where we have to be careful. We've said before that they talked about meeting the two of us, and I said, no, they come and meet council through deputation. That's the only way we can do it. Everybody's in on the ground floor. We did have a presentation. I guess she was just a stand-in.
Paula?
Yeah. And
she's the executive director, but that's more operational than...
Right, and that's Georgia Bay as opposed to Ice Cabinet. But I'm thinking they have to come and speak to council.
Yeah.
Not to meet... this is where we've been into trouble in the past. They meet with individual councillors. As you say, things went between the cracks. Not everybody knew what was going on. So I'm thinking if they have something they want to talk to us about, negotiate with, then they have to come to council, do a presentation.
That's fair.
And so... The invitation's been out there now for a period of time, and they haven't responded. But it sounds like they're talking to you. I don't know. So I think they should be talking to council.
I do too. I hope you don't think I was overstepping. They simply asked me to, and I did. Right? We had at least a half an hour, maybe 45-minute conversation about kind of next steps. Anyhow, so
yeah. See, this is where we want to try to avoid that as much as possible. We haven't actually put anybody on any committee. We haven't authorize anybody, so I think we should take it step by step and have them come, and then we decide. It's like the museum now. We haven't decided what we're going to do there just yet. So I would say that it'd be like somebody else going and talking to the museum board and saying, you know, on their own. So I'm just thinking it should be done.
I did keep written notes of it. If you want me to, I can give you a report.
I'm just saying, no, it shouldn't be any notes. Okay. It should be come to council, and that we can all hear the presentation at once. Unless we're officially on a committee, that would be different.
And then the whole of council can decide whether they want to be part of it or not.
Right, yeah.
So is that over the same? What about the Georgian Bay Biosphere, $5,200?
That's part of the Environment Committee budget. I think there's a page. Is there a page in this document, Carly, with the Environment
at
Committee?
The end.
That's what I remember. And the Environment Committee did have a meeting last week, and we went through this again. Some of these require an explanation, but that's basically was presented and agreed by the committee anyhow last week. So,
well, this is, I think, where things were shifted to the Environmental Committee, where it probably should be coming from the township's line item budget, such as E. coli sampling, phosphorus and calcium. So this is what used to be the MLCA water testing, so that it's not the committee that's approving this. It's actually the township.
The committee doesn't approve. The committee recommend it.
But anyways, this is something that council.
Well, in after a fashion, we do anyway, because none of the expenses, they have no means to pay anything. They simply ask council to pay or recommend paying it, and that's it. There is no dollars that are there. There is no bank account there. There's no means to pay there.
Yeah, no. But anyways, I think that it's one of those things. Then they come and present the MLCA. They come and give the water sampling results presentations to council. And, you know, the whole community can watch or attend that meeting. So.
Sure.
And I guess, too, the feedback on there, because I noticed that's a fair bit of their budget on educational materials.
Yeah.
And I think you were part of that handing it out, too, going through the township. Is there any feedback on that? And I know when I went to the tax bills, too, I've heard some positive and negative about that.
Yeah.
Are you getting any feedback on the committee?
Well, I mean, we did that last summer, so September, October, something like that. I received lots of positive feedback when I was campaigning, which was later in October and things, because some people recognized me, but that wasn't really the point. And I think on the whole, there's just lots of things that people didn't understand, including me. I admit that I learned by attending these committee meetings, and I have those booklets at home, and I get them out and read them, especially on the septic side. There was a Septic Smart book, a thin one, that was done and things, and there was discussion at our meeting last week about reprinting a small number of those again and giving them to the library so they're available. And I think that's critical, too. I think there's huge misunderstandings on septic, and I've had a septic for whatever, 8 years, 10 years, something like that, but yeah, I'm still learning lots of things that way. So.
And this, just since we've got their budget out here, remedial plantings, what's that, $2,500?
That was for the... The pollinator patches. Sorry, where are you looking right now?
That's on their budget.
Near
the bottom. It's a fourth column or row up.
Okay.
Remedial plantings, $2,500.
Yes, it doesn't say so here, but that is what that is. That was for the pollinator patches. The three of them as planned, anyhow.
Okay. And my question is just going back to what was said at the meeting. I thought most of those were plants. We did ask the question, are those growing naturally in other parts of the township? I heard yes.
That's so what I heard, too.
Is the idea that these are going to actually come from a greenhouse somewhere, or are they going to be dug up
in the
next field?
One of the things you'll see in the minutes that you'll get for our next meeting, at least I hope for our next meeting because they're done, is exactly that, is whether or not, because of the procurement process, we should go and get an RFP for this to buy them, because it's not a huge amount of money, but it's $2,000.
Yeah.
And that's Suzanne's or Sue, as how she likes to be called, plan is to do so, because I brought that up in our committee meeting, just because it's a chunk of money.
Yeah.
So okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that when this was, I just don't have that information with me, but when council discussed this prior to 2 weeks ago when the presentation was made by Susan Poff, then we were discussing, you know, are these pollinator patches actually necessary in McKellar Township? And during that discussion, I believe that you said this isn't going to cost anything. So why wouldn't council want to support this? Now we're hearing that it's going to cost, what is it, $2,500?
Yeah.
And these are for, and the whole reasoning was that pollinator patches are to help provide a feed source for the pollinators. But if you're paying $2,500 for the exact same feed sources, she mentioned Joe Pye weed, black-eyed Susans that are growing 50 feet that way, there is no real lack or there's no shortage of a feed source for the pollinators. When McKellar Township is a rural, and when you look at the information about these pollinator patches, these are urban projects to help provide, you know, a feed source and to help to, improve the opportunities for the pollinators. And that's great. But, you know, is this something that is actually necessary in McKellar Township?
I'm not a botanist, and I really can't answer that question. I know Sue could speak about it at great length, and I can't. So if that's what's desired, then we could ask her to come back and speak to that issue precisely.
I think the concern here is that when this discussion took place, that it seemed to me that there wasn't going to be any cost to the municipality. And so now to see that there is a cost, it's like, it doesn't line up with the information that we were provided at that time.
Especially when the stuff's going all around. So we're going to go and purchase it? Like, why not dig it up? Why even plant it if it's growing all over the place?
I'm not a botanist. I'm not saying that's true or not true. I don't know. So.
Yeah, I think all we do at this stage is look at the budgets that were submitted, and we're certainly not passing any just yet.
Yeah.
And we have questions for different departments, I guess, by the sounds of it. So,
is there any other questions while we're at it? Because I can happily go back and talk to the committee and ask them, you know, can we address this issue?
I
will for that one, for sure. I mean, but
I still think that the water testing expenditure should be something that is a line item in, not in the environmental committee, but back the way it was previously, that it was something that council was approving specifically. Then there's accountability to the council for this money, and presentations take place at council.
So you're looking back to the donation to MLCA doing it?
Yeah, I think that there should be a direct line between council and MLCA. Then there's more accountability, and I think it worked out good in the past.
For the record, several members of the Environment Committee are also members of the MLCA.
That's why we have to check with MLCA to see if they're...
So, and my point being that, I mean, moving it back into a council budget is effectively a council budget today, perhaps in a sub-budget, but otherwise it's still in the council budget as indicated by the budget in front of us. I mean, I think that's just semantics to do that. This isn't a group of people arbitrarily deciding things and by themselves without referral to council. Again, at best, we come back and make a recommendation to council, and council can say yay or nay at that point in time. And this is, I guess, the start of it by presenting a budget for it. And if things require more explanation, then by all means, let's find out what the explanation is and present it. But, I mean, whether you could argue that it isn't part of council, but there it is on the budget.
I think you're just talking about the extra step, bureaucracy there. Why does it have to go through committee and then come back to council?
But the difference being that these people bring true expertise to it. Not me, but the other committee members have a great deal of expertise on this.
But MLCA... I'm wondering how many on the committee actually go out and do the testing with MLCA members. I don't think there are too many.
there's a couple at least. Do I know how exactly how many? It comes up, but I haven't ever asked like who particularly is doing this. But
I'm thinking maybe resolve this too. We should be talking to MLCA executive and see what procedure they prefer.
Sure.
Because they've done it both ways now, I guess.
Yeah. So I have no objection to that. I think that's a good idea even. Why not? Right? Having them both here at the same meeting. Why not? Right? Now, having said that, Jennifer clearly wears two hats in that regard. But I don't think it's a conflict of interest either. I think, I mean, she doesn't get anything personally out of this other than, you know, the benefits that the program offers. That's all. So.
I just, in the past, I think the water testing group would come to council and give their year-end results and then give a bit of an update of what they were planning for in the upcoming year. And so it had a broader...
That's what this is. You haven't got it yet because I only got it today. This is the minutes of our meeting last week. Okay, and all those subjects are covered. One of the things that Jennifer does an exceptional job of is keeping a list of open items and updating everything on the list every time we have a meeting. And that will come to council with the minutes, which, like I said, I signed off on yesterday. Whether the other members have or not, I don't know, but we'll produce the minutes and provide them back to council. Those things are all done. And again, I think it's just semantics about saying whether it's council or whether it's the committee or whether it's MLCA.
I don't think so, because it's an $8,000 item here, and I think the taxpayers and council deserves to have the MLCA or their representatives come to council and show what they've done in the past year and the costs and the changes that they're going to do or whatever to justify the $8,000, and then the council decides whether or not to go forward with it. So this way, when they're lumped in with the environmental committee, it's okay. They're lumped in there, Manitowoc Lake Conservancy, $8,000.
They're right here on our budget, prepared by Rochelle.
It doesn't matter. In the past, they came to the council meeting and did a presentation and explained what they were doing and what was going on. It's not happening here now. It's a line item on here, and that's it. And I think, myself, personally, I think that they should come to council and do a presentation and get everyone informed. The public is here. They can have voice their opinion, yay or nay, or they think they're doing a great job or whatever. It's not $2,000 or $1,000. It's $8,000.
Okay, so we're at a point now that you're not concerned about the figure. It's just a matter of how it's actually done.
Yes.
Okay. So we're just doing budget right now. That'll certainly be a procedure down the road how we resolve that. But
yeah, I kind of liked your idea of maybe asking especially the volunteers with the MLCA how they would like to do a direct presentation to council, which they could anyway, or whether they want to operate through the environmental committee. I think they're volunteers, and I think their input is important.
They seem to be more, in the community lately, with the whole MLCA corporate as such, so I'm thinking they might not mind going back to the way they did. I don't know, but we'll have to find out from them. And,
yeah.
Because I know that they'd approached council in the past, too. They wanted to buy different equipment that could do a better research, and that was provided to them through a donation. And I think sometimes that was even done in the fall before budgets were set. They were promised certain amounts of money, and that was a few thousand dollars. But you're right, now we are getting up to $8,000, which is certainly higher than it ever was.
And that's the exact reason why I made note of this, is because in the past there was that direct connection with council and the water testing group, and those presentations I don't believe have taken place now since it became a line item in the MLCA's budget. So I thought that was a very effective way of communicating that information to the community. So
yeah, they could communicate it that way to MLCA that we did get a lot out of their personal presentations to council, and that if they wherever the money is situated, it doesn't matter to me too much, but it would be nice to hear a direct presentation on the water sample. Yeah.
Other figures?
Can I just, on page 18 as well, just for the record, under land ambulance, middle of the page.
Did it come down?
No. under North Bay Parish Sound Health Unit.
Oh, okay.
That, not the land ambulance, sorry. We have $40,000 budget in here, but I remembered from our correspondence, either at our last meeting or the one before, the health unit told us that it would go up by 50% this year, and obviously this doesn't represent that yet. Partially because the province subsidy has been reduced. To your credit, Sean, I don't know if you would have received this. I mean, we received it as part of the council package, but there is some details here. And one of the factors in here, they actually describe how the payment levy works. They're using our a population of 1176, which we know is quite incorrect, so that might have an even more material impact. My only point for the budget discussion is just to say that based on this, they say we should plan for an approximate 50% increase in 2024. Sorry, I missed that when I read it. Anyhow, but
Roshan's on it. 2024, he's all set.
If you want, I can give you this. But it's in the package from, well, the letter's dated February the 13th, but I think it was in the last council meeting or maybe the one before. I don't know. But anyhow.
Well, this goes back to the who does what way back in the 90s. When they divvied up, and of course the province made it sound like, you know, the municipalities were going to gain in this. They were taking the expensive portfolios, files. As it turns out, we ended up getting the expensive ones over the long term, and they must have had some crystal ball. I'm not sure what happened there. But.
So I apologize. We should obviously leave the budget the same for the time being, other than if they wake up and smell the coffee about our population being 1,419 instead of 1,176.
I noticed that, and that's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah. And they charge a per capita rate, at least according to this, of $34.83. So, I mean, 300 more people at $34 is, whatever, $900 more anyway. But
that's, again, when you think about it, the way this was done way back when they started, because we used to be a Simcoe Perry Sound or something to that effect, Muskoka Perry Sound, and I think Councillor Zulak was on it at the time, and then they went to the north, and we had meetings. One was in Whitestone to look at the representation, and we have one representative from all of West Perry Sound sitting on that board, and that's just ridiculous. But it's heavily weighted towards North Bay, and I know it has nothing to do with this, but we can't even have much say. And of course, we've lost Don Brisbane now, and I guess Jamie McGarvey is our rep, I think, sitting on that one. And I'm just, yeah, the costs, it's something like, we don't have the representation to even ask about what's going on, we just have to pay the bill. And it's unfortunate that
it's kind of like out there for me.
Yeah.
Kind of like what, sorry?
Another committee.
Okay, Roshan, what else do you need here from today's meeting to moving forward?
That's it. I will revise the numbers and the capital numbers, and then I will give the overall review again with the new numbers, and then we will go from there.
Okay, I realize we haven't really touched much on the capital end of it, but we'll have to do that another time too and get more information. Greg as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like to help next meeting. I would like to ask Greg and I don't know if the Mr. Fire Chief will be likely to be here, but then definitely Greg will also be. His budget is heavy budget, and he needs a lot of things to say about the budget. So.
Yeah. Now, looking at our agenda as well, Council had some final comments on today's session. It is preliminary, as we said. I did want to open this up, number 26 on the agenda, question comment period from the public. Someone sat here for most of the meeting, so if you have any comments, now's the time to let us hear.
I'm okay for the moment.
For the moment? Okay.
Keep plugging away.
Yeah. We have resolution 23-212, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. The result of Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby rise and report from the Committee of the Whole at
4:03
p.m. I guess it should have been this first.
Well, the clock hasn't been spun forward yet.
I thought we're doing all right.
It's only 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we're doing really well if we could finish at 3.
So all the question, all in the favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-213, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2023-25, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of council first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council the 17th day of March 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Did we want to set a date for the next budget meeting today, or?
I don't, we can even do that on the 21st.
Okay, sounds good.
I have resolution 23-214, moved by Councilor Rudd and seconded by Councilor Hoskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourned this meeting at?
4:05 p.m.
to meet again on March 21st, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.